Friends, this morning, at this close of the year, the last Lord's Day of 2015, the Lord laid this verse upon me, the seventh verse of 1 Peter 5. He laid this upon my heart earlier in the week to bring it to you, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. This past year, we have had many things to care about, many things to be worried about, many things to be concerned about. But what ought we to do with them? Is it wrong to be anxious about certain things? Is it wrong to have this kind of a care? What should we do at the end of the year? What should we do at any time of the year? Here is a wonderful command: casting all your care upon Him. And then you have a great encouragement. Why? What's the reason? For He, that is God, careth for you. Inexperienced Christians are generally imbalanced in their faith and belief. We inexperienced Christians can oftentimes fall into some imbalanced, unbiblical extremes. The pendulum goes from one end to the other. Oftentimes in the lives of the young believers, and they hit their head against certain rocks at times, and through experiences they realize the Lord teaches them to be more biblical, more moderate in the things of God. But we can have wrong ideas. It's an easy thing to do for any one of us. We can often exalt one duty, one thing, one command, one teaching, one responsibility to the exclusion of some other things. We can have our blind spots, and we are so concerned about something in our lives or in the lives of other people and not see other things that are wrong with us. We see the little dust, the little speck in someone else's eye, but don't realize there is a great mote in our own eyes. Let me give you some examples. Some of these I take from my own personal experience, but they're simple things. We can come to a certain knowledge of the dealings of God in the Scriptures and the teachings of the Word of God, and how we have a sovereign God, and how we have a God who controls all things, and we come to the wonderful doctrines of election and predestination and sovereignty of God. And that individual can easily, if they don't study the Scriptures, they can go into this frame of mind that they say, oh, there's no need anymore to pray. There's no need to evangelize. There's no need anymore to share the gospel with someone at all. And then someone else goes into another extreme. They say everything is dependent on them. They have to do something. They have to do something, and they must get someone to make some sort of a decision. They have to manipulate the situation. And it's all salvation of the lost is all to do with that decision that individual makes. And that raising of the hand or whatever, the free will is brought so high to an extreme position. And so a person can fall in and out of salvation a few times a week. I've known people like that. And what a bondage both extremes are, and how far they are from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have others who may exalt other things. We could think about the worship of God, how that can go into extremes. We can think about our views about the law of God, how that can go into extremes. We could go on mentioning things after things, the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Some people are so fearful to mention even the Holy Spirit and the working of the Spirit in the heart and the moving of the Spirit in the soul. And then there are others who They say, I don't need the Bible anymore. I just go by the Spirit's leading and guidance and so on. We could mention a whole list of things that individuals can go into extremes. And if we are honest, possibly we've all fallen into some of these things ourselves. However, if you are growing in your life as a Christian, you begin to understand things better. You have experienced something of the Word of God, and you're constantly learning. And you learn things about the Lord. You learn things about yourself. You learn things about sin. You learn things about the triune God. And you will then see that we are to do things that seem to be opposite of one another. We are to believe and to show worthy fruit. We are to pray and to work. We believe certain doctrines, and yet we go and take the gospel to the people in this world. Faith does not exclude fear. And meekness and humility does not exclude strength. A Christian is the meekest person, ought to be, selfless person, full of humility. And yes, the Christian is the most strong person. He can be very forceful about various things. He can be filled with courage. Every grace, every doctrine and principle in the growing Christian will be limited, or it will be tempered, moderated, helped by some other grace and teaching. There is a balance, a biblical balance. And the soul must be humbled before God in dust and ashes. Yet at the same time, that very soul must rely on Him who is our confidence. In verse 6 we read, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Here is one thing that you and I can never go into extremes, and that is the matter of casting all our cares upon the Lord. You cannot say, I cast my cares, my anxious thoughts upon the Lord too much or too often. No, the Lord takes care, takes our cares. He's ready to do that. So here is a duty of the Christian, a command for us. The year has gone, and maybe you are today filled with burdens. Are you going to carry on that burden, the anxiety of it, the worries of it, with you into the new year? The Lord here has a word for you. Here is our duty, casting all your care upon Him. We are called by the Lord to cast all our cares, not just some of them, but all our cares upon Him. This is what you must do. This is your duty always at any time of the year. If you seek great things for yourself, if you seek great things, money or wealth, whatever the world thinks to be great and important, to love money and to love wealth, and putting those things in your life as being the most important things in life, then yes, your life will be filled with many worries. You can be very much enslaved to those things. We read in the Scriptures, God says, and seekest thou great things for thyself? That was a reference made by Jeremiah to the nation of Israel. They wanted the blessings, the worldly benefits and blessings. And they thought those things are great. And God says to them, are you seeking those things, great things for thyself? Seek them not. There is something more that you ought to be seeking. The maturing Christian has learned not to seek those things as our reason for happiness in life. And so we don't need to worry about them, because I trust we are not greedy. We are not greedy after worldly things and ambitions. But then we are called here, casting all your cares. It means the Christian, this is written to Christians, who shun worldliness, who do not love wealth, yet the Lord is saying here, they have certain cares. They have certain concerns. They have certain anxious thoughts. That's what care means here. Care, the first care is different to the second care. The Lord is not anxious. He's not worried. He's not wringing his hands together. What am I going to do with this world? No. But the first care has to do with anxiety. Thoughts within our hearts, burdens upon our souls. And we are told here, cast them, throw them, all your cares upon Him. It is not necessarily a sin to be anxious, but it is a sin when we do not obey the Lord in the way that we deal with that anxiety. The Apostle Paul uses exactly the same word when he speaks about the care of all the churches were laying upon him. Was he sinning? It's exactly the same word. No, he was concerned for them. He had that care, that shepherd's heart for them, his mind was upon them. He was concerned for them. He was in one sense worried for them. What will become of this church? What will become of that church? It shows his shepherd's heart, but there is no reference made that kind of a care of all these churches was a sin to him. No. The Christian still has many reasons of care to be anxious. The past year maybe has been filled with anxious thoughts. Not sinful thoughts, but concerns, worries. Certain things you don't know the future of. And I say to you, at the end of this year, the way you deal with it is the important thing. Maybe we feel some concern about our bodily needs. How much of that has been the part of our year? Physical needs, our health, our ailments, problems, the way we would walk, the way we would move, our lack of sleep, feeling tired, certain illnesses, cancer, other issues that might be pressing upon our minds. Is there something wrong to be concerned about it? Oh, you can go into extremes. Some people cannot. Health and physical health is the only thing they think about, the only thing they talk about. But is there something wrong to be concerned about such things? The Apostle Paul, he had certain illnesses, and he showed concern about them. There are things maybe that has made you very uneasy in the past year. Things that you might feel or even more important and serious than your bodily needs. You're concerned about certain people, certain individuals, certain issues. There are things that worry you about your faith in Jesus Christ, your walk as a Christian. You're anxious about various things. You don't want to dishonor the Lord. And you are concerned that you have dishonored the Lord in certain way in your profession. Some people may be filled with concern because of their unbelief. A year has gone and you have not trusted in the Lord. Things haven't changed as far as you're concerned. You feel there is an evil heart of unbelief, as the Bible says, in you. And so you're concerned. You're filled with anxiety. Is that wrong? No, that's a good kind of anxious thought. It is good, but what do you do with it? You know yourself, my friends. You know your own heart and how you can fall. You know how subtle and wicked Satan is also, and that can cause some people much fear. You may be anticipating some future evils, some future mishaps, something that you are expecting might happen. And so you tremble, you worry about certain temptations that may come to you. And you're worried that you're weak, you feel that you might fall in certain things. Maybe you fear that you've been so impatient and ungracious with people and with the Lord's dealings. And you feel you've failed the Lord. And you feel, and all of these things burdens you. You feel crushed under them. They are your cares. The future is not clear to you. You want to know what will happen about certain things, how you are going to cope in a certain event that will happen, even how someone in your family will manage, a colleague, a child, how will they manage? So all of these things, we could go on cataloging many, many matters that can produce anxiety and worry. All these things can fill a Christian's heart, if we are honest about it. The past year may seem to you has been a whole year of worries, a whole year all together with cares. And these matters are natural, friends. They are not evil necessarily in and of themselves. But as long as you do what God says about them, then all will be well. But if you carry on with those cares in your heart, then that will result in sin. So, what is our duty? What is the Lord saying to us this morning? Cast all your cares upon Him. Whatever has been the matter, cast all your cares upon Him. To cast our care, our concerns, our anxieties upon any person, any creature, would be fruitless. How many hours has been spent this past year of talking about certain things, certain anxieties, certain issues, certain unhappiness. If you've spent it talking to this person, you've sat in meetings, you've sat and went and seen individuals to talk about those things. And what about the Lord? Has that produced fruit, talking with others? Nothing will come of it, my friends, ultimately. It will actually make us be guilty if we think that people are the source of our help and support. If you think that through talking with other people, unburdening yourself with someone else, that will then give you ease, then that actually makes us very guilty. Is that what we have done? Is this what you're about to do? Then listen. We read again in the Word of God in Jeremiah 17 and 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Oh, my friends, we have a Savior. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden." Come unto Him, and then what do we do with it? We are to cast our burdens upon Him. He takes it. He carries our sins away, which is the greatest burden. He taketh away the sin of the world, John the Baptist said. We go to Him. We need the arm of God, the strength of the Lord, not man. Maybe you have talked to somebody. Maybe you've talked to me, to some elder, some other Christian. And you think, if they can give me some sort of advice, then if I only read certain book, if I read or hear certain things, then that will deal with my issue. And all of these things, there's nothing wrong with that. And it is a scriptural thing. But ultimately, it is the Lord who will take away your care, your all of those things that burdens you. God alone, my friends, is able to sustain, and praise God for that. None of us could do that, to sustain any burdens. And so, on Him, we are commanded to cast everything, all our burdens. Don't go into the new year with some burdens still upon your soul. Listen to the Psalms. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. How would you do that? By faith. By faith in the triune God. By faith in the Father. By faith in His Son. By faith in the Holy Spirit. You pray to the triune God for this. Pray is the place where you cast. Prayer is the method in which you throw. You are throwing. It's a means by which you're throwing your cares upon the Lord, and the Lord catches them. You leave your cares, your burdens, your anxieties at His feet, and He takes them. Is this your practice? Has that been the main practice of you in the past year? Oh, often we must confess it is not the case. But listen again, my friends. Listen and be encouraged by the Word of God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. And oh, how often we have experienced this. We have been filled with all kinds of worries. And then we go to the Lord. We pray and tell Him all that is in our hearts. And then we get up from our knees. And the burden has been lifted. Somehow, we don't know how, miraculously, supernaturally, we have reached eternity. And eternity has come to us. Is there something that you say, I can't bring this. I can't seek the Lord about this matter. I can't do it. I have to do something about it. This person has to do something about it. No, no. The Lord says, no. Don't think like that. Cast all, it says. Casting all your care upon Him. Not just some. Nothing is too small, my friends. But you can't say, no, the Lord can't look at this. It's too small. It's too meager for me to bring it to the Lord. Too mundane. No, the Lord sees it. If it's a burden, if it's a care, whatever the size of it is you take, or you say, oh, this is too great. It's too great. Nothing is too great for the Lord, my friends. No worries, no issues are so large an issue, or hopeless, or impossible, but they will be lifted by the Lord. The problem with us is that we have no faith in the Lord. We don't put our trust that the Lord will deal with it and then leave the matter there with Him and go on serving Him, trusting in the Lord. We take it. We take it there and then we take it back with us. Yes, we mention matters to the Lord, and then we take it back home with us. No, it says cast your burdens upon the Lord. When you cast it, it goes. You throw it, and then it goes. You don't take it back. There is no strings attached to it that you pull it back to you again. No. There's a backwardness. There's a lack of appreciation. There is a pride in many people to obey this duty, this command, a gracious command that we were singing of. Oh, to do this, my friends. Do this. Even today. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have not dealt with this issue, and so it's filled my heart with bitterness. I have not dealt with this issue and it has made me a judgmental individual. I have not dealt with this issue and it's weakened me. I feel so far from thee and from thy people. I feel far and distant. Well, my friends, today go to him and cast all of these things, however complicated they may be, however in your view hopeless and impossible they may be, cast it all upon the Lord. And you will see that God will fulfill his promise to you. Then secondly, and finally, God, he encourages us. Our encouragement for this duty, what is it? Cast all your care upon him. Him, for he careth for you. Friends, God extends his care to the whole creation, the Bible says. But in a more special manner, God cares for his own people. We are called to cast care. One Puritan puts it like this: it is God's work to take care. Let us not, by our soul-dividing thoughts, take his work out of his hand. God encourages us, let me take care of that. And here John Trapp says, don't take his work out of his hand. Don't try to do the work of God. Why would you do that? Why would I do that? Oh, my friends, God encourages you to do this casting. He says, go on ahead. Go on. Even now, go on, cast it. Why don't you do it? I'm encouraging you to do that. I'm calling you to do that. Think just for a moment. What do you know about our Savior God? As you begin to think, I must cast my burdens upon the Lord. What should I do? What are the encouragements? Well, you look, you think about how the Jews were taken through the wilderness. Didn't the Lord take them? Wasn't their work impossible? Wasn't their way so dangerous? He intervened for them in all of their dangers. He supplied their every need. And don't tell me that's a story. No, we as Christians believe the word of God to be true. That's history. And God took care of them. Is he not going to take care of you, however years you might have, with those issues? In Psalm 105 we read, he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. Now, even though things are less visible, God still sees those who trust in him. Even though there is no cloud, there is no fire, yet God sees us. He has not changed. He watches over his children for their good. This is our God. He has not changed. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, meaning his people. He shows himself strong toward you, dear child of God. What else does he do? He limits, he restrains all of our enemies, the scripture says. He limits our dangers. We are not destroyed altogether. Scripture says that even he restrains the men's wrath, men's anger is restrained. What else do we know about the Savior? He sympathizes with us in our grief. He identifies with us. He pities us when we are afflicted, when we sense our weaknesses. Oh, wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ in his flesh become weak? In our illnesses, in our sicknesses, in our conditions, the Lord sympathizes with us. Listen again. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. in His love and in His pity, He redeemed them and He bare them and carried them all the days of old. Listen again to Hebrews this time. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. This is our God who sympathizes with us. This is our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who identifies Himself with you. And so He says to you, what hinders you from casting your burdens upon Me? Do you think I will not be faithful in taking it away? Trust Me, my friends. Trust Me, my children, He says. I will deal with it. I will take it. What else do we know about our Savior God? God gives us His people who cast our cares upon Him all the needful and spiritual blessings. He's done that, and He will do that to the end. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's His promise to you, my friend. So He says to you, then if you know this about Me, then cast your burdens upon Me. What else encourages us to this? He hears and answers our supplications. When we pray, He hears. When we appeal to Him, He hears. When we plead with Him, He does not turn us away, but He hears. The Lord Jesus Christ said it to His disciples in John 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and cast your burdens upon the Lord. He encourages you even further this morning. Because He sees you and thinks of you as a great treasure, you can go and cast your burdens upon Him. You see, we are like a diamond ring upon the Lord's hand, if I could use this illustration. And He sees and He takes pleasure in this treasure of His. He has purchased us by His own precious blood, and He rejoices to see His people. He delights in them. Think about that. Isn't this humbling? The Lord delighting in His people. And this cannot be comprehended. We cannot really understand it, but it is true. God looks to His people like a woman looks at her wedding ring or the most valuable jewel. We read in Malachi 3:17, and they shall be Mine, the Lord says. They shall be Mine. In that day when I make up My jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. He says, I will make up My jewel. They are My jewels. They are the apple of God's eye, the Scripture says. And He communes with us as His sons and daughters, the Bible says. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be My sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is the promise of God to you. So if you are a son or daughter of the Lord, then go and cast your burdens upon the Lord. He takes on Himself the management of all your concerns. You say, I can't cope with this. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what to think about this. And the Lord says, let Me deal with this. Let Me manage it. Let Me control it. Oh, my friends, we like to control, to be in control. I don't know who is in this room and they say, I don't want to be in control of my situation. And we are so good at it that we like to control other people too. Isn't that true? Some people, they want to control others. And yet the issue is we can't, in all honesty, control ourselves. And yet the Lord says, let Me control it. Let Me deal with it. Let Me manage it. In Isaiah 46 we read, and even to your old age I am He. And even to hoar hairs, white hairs, will I carry you? What is that telling you? Managing of our lives. All the logistics. This carrying has to do with logistics of your life. I will carry you. Whatever it is, whatever the situation is, there's a trial, there's an affliction, there's an illness, there's a work, there's a family, there's a friend, there is someone. And all our burdens, and the Lord says, let me deal with all the logistics. Let me deal with all the managements of all these things. He says, I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Are you trying to deliver yourself, my friends? Do you see, dear anxious believer, what the scripture is saying? Can you not then trust him to take your care from you? Are you not encouraged by this? To go to the Lord with all of these things, all of your burdens, and cast whatever it is upon him. Think, my friends, about these things. Our guardian and protector is infinitely wise. The nature, part of his attribute, part of who God is that he's most wise. You think, oh, I need to, you can't deal with this situation. I was saying to somebody, but I have to do it because they don't know what to do about this thing, and I have to press these buttons, and I know what this program does. So I have to do it. That's it. We can do that with all other issues in our lives. And say, no, I have to deal with this issue. But the Lord says, no, I am wise. You are not. In Isaiah 28, we read that the Lord is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. He knows what trials we stand in need of. And he can turn and he can suit the situation, our circumstances, so that he might meet our needs. He can overrule. Hasn't he overruled your situations in the past year? Hasn't he answered? And in an amazing thing, he's overruled the very thing. And that to our eternal benefit. Think about his wisdom. And so he says, cast. Think about his almighty power. He has all power. He's almighty God. Wherefore I called, was there none to answer? We read in Isaiah 50. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? That's what the Lord says to you. Don't I have power to deal with this situation? Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Who will hinder it if I am working? So he has commanded you to do this one thing. He says, trust in my power. Trust in my wisdom. But also he says to you in this, trust in my goodness and grace. I will be good to you. I will be gracious towards you. What countless blessings he has already given to you, my friends. He has even given his only begotten son for you, dear friends who know him. What fears then should you have if you have Christ? Can you not trust him even in taking care of your cares? Hear the word of God again in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? But above all, he is faithful. He has promised to protect. He has promised to strengthen. And so we must trust him to do it. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I could go on quoting scripture after scripture. and this is our great consolation. So, my friends, here we have a calling of God, an encouragement of the Lord at the end of this year. Whatever has been your concern, whatever has been the trial, whatever providence has brought into your life, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. As I close, I say to you this. How then needful it is that all of us would know the Lord. If you think about it, you have all the people in this world have cares, anxieties, but what a shame it is for them not to know the Lord. We can be merry, we can be jolly, we can overindulge ourselves in so many things, but for a temporary period of time, it will not last. There will be empty vanity at the end, but God alone can comfort us in adversity, in hardship, in difficult times. At the hour of death, we all will need divine support. So how you and I need to know Him. Acquaint now thyself with Him, the Lord says, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is our refuge. Even today, we must come to know Him. He will save us in our time of trouble. And think, dear believer, how happy are the Christians if they rightly enjoy their privileges. Do you enjoy this? Do you enjoy this privilege of casting your care? No one else tells you, oh, burden me with your cares. Oh, cast your cares on me. No, I don't have time. I have got the problems of my own. I have all these other things that are going on, and they're legitimate things, and we cannot keep going to certain people. But the Lord never says that to you. He says, I have all the time. I have eternity. I have all wisdom, and I have all the strength. Come unto me. It is our privilege to be without carefulness, without anxious care. So, my friends, today, go and use this privilege. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So be glad. Rejoice that the Lord our God is full of grace, that Jesus Christ will even carry not only your sin, but your cares. He is at our side. You who are afflicted, then, commit yourselves to Him. This is our duty. This is our calling and privilege. He knows the events that He will work in our lives. He is the one who knows what He's doing. So say with Joshua, the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Do not fear your worries. The Lord is with us. Cast your burdens, cast your cares, all of them upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen.